Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Thank you for listening. Happy Thursday. That's right, baby, back to two episodes a week. We know you guys missed that. But Brad and I finished our exclusive TuneIn episodes, which you can still get on the TuneIn app. Just download that, baby, and get 12 exclusive episodes of just Brad and I, which we're going to start doing more of as well. We really enjoyed it. It's how the podcast started. We hadn't done it in a while, and it really forced us to just be us. And it's so fun. So, you never know what happens. Like tonight, we went to the Clippers game, sat two rows behind the court, and during the dance cam, Brad got on my shoulders, and, I mean, SEAL Team 6 SWAT security came over as if they, like, had seen Dwarf on Shoulders before and told him to get off so fucking quick. It was nuts. But the game was great. Shout out to Adam Devine for the tickets, who will be on a live podcast soon. The About Last Night live at the Riot LA Festival here in Los Angeles, California, January 22nd at 5 p.m. That's a Sunday as a part of the Riot LA Comedy Festival. All the information and tickets at riotla.com. Adam Devine and Brent Morin are our guests for that live pod. So get tickets if you're in the surrounding LA area and come see us. We're also going to be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival April 20th through the 22nd, March 8th in Wise Guys, at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City, as a part of that comedy festival in Utah. And then just got word we're going to be at the Vegas Comedy Festival in May. So pumped. So many live pods coming up. Speaking of podcasts, today's episode is a guest who I love so much. She is one of the funniest people I've ever met. She was a cast member with me on the new Mad TV. She's a member of the main company at the Groundlings, the prestigious sketch comedy group here in Los Angeles. Who's been in the Groundlings? Will Ferrell, Chris Kattan, Lisa Kudrow, Cheryl Hines, John Lovitz, Phil Hartman, Kristen Wiig, Taryn Killam, Mikey Day, Jordan Black, Kathy Griffin, the list goes on and on. And and today's guest, originally from New Orleans, now in LA, just one of the funniest people I've ever met. And this was her first time on the About Last Night podcast, and you're gonna love her just like we did. I'm talking about Lyric Lewis, the one and only. This episode just has so much fun shit. She's obsessed with Jurassic Park. We closed the episode with a trivia game, which I was surprised how much I knew. I love the movie, not as much as Lyric. Her roots in New Orleans, moving from there to Minnesota, finding her acting chops, getting to L.A., her process getting on Mad TV. That's always an interesting story for each cast member. And Lyric just brings it. She's cool as fuck. And after this episode, you're going to want to hang out with her. So enjoy this episode and follow Lyric on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is one of the more clever Twitter handles I've ever seen. It's at Lyric Said Wah, W-H-A-A-A. So hit up Lyric on Twitter, tell her how much you love the episode. Go back, watch all the Mad TV on Hulu, and tell her how great she is, because she's the shit. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad, at Aylin Podcast on Twitter, at Aylin Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comedy, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. This weekend, I'm headlining the Brea Improv tonight through Sunday. So pumped. Brea. I was there co-headlining with Amir Kay. Now it's my first weekend there. Man, I used to host there all the time. I featured for Brad there so many times, and now it's my first weekend. So come out tonight through Sunday. Brea Improv, Fullerton, California. Tickets at improv.com. I'm bringing Sandy Danto to feature, Avery Pearson to do some music. Always fun, always different, a lot of new material. Come out tonight through Sunday, Brea Improv. Tickets at improv.com. Next weekend, I'm at the Kansas City Improv. First time there, baby, headlining. January 12th through the 14th. That's next Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Kansas City Improv, January 12th through the 14th. And then the following weekend, January 19th through the 21st, I met Comics in Mohegan Sun, Connecticut. That's near Hartford. It's a casino up there. Comics, come see me January 19th through the 21st. And then, like I said, January 22nd, 5 p.m., as a part of the Riot LA Comedy Festival here in Los Angeles, live About Last Night podcast taping with Brent Morin and Adam Devine. Get your tickets at riotla.com. Brad Williams this weekend is at the Calgary Laugh Stop in Calgary, Canada, Friday and Saturday. Go see Brad there, Calgary Laugh Stop in Calgary, Canada. And then next weekend, Brad, the 12th through the 14th, is at Levity Live in West Nyack, New York. Great club, great staff. Go see Brad. Levity Live, January 12th through the 14th. EstoyMerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. ESTOYMerchandise.com. Hats, shirts, mugs, posters. Buy them. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them, take a picture. You could be fan of the week and win some more free shit. And, of course, subscribe on iTunes, man. It's a new year. We got so many dope guests lined up. Brad and I went through this guest list that we have for 2017 of people lined up and people that are on the horizon and people that we're exchanging messages with to lock in. And it's going to be a fucking great year. These best of episodes were so amazing. I hope you guys have listened to Best of 2016 ALN Part 1 and Part 2. It was really amazing to go back and listen to some of these guests and conversations. So many, you know, like the Marc Maron episode, for example. I forgot how just informative that was. I mean, he just laid it all out, his whole story, in 2 hours, which we never do. And, man, the Wayne Brady episode, so many. Go back, listen to that. Get all the fun clips, and then go back and listen to the eps that you might have missed. But so many great guests are coming, so make sure you're subscribed and tell a friend. Tell a friend or a family member in 2017. Pass it on. Say subscribe to the ALN podcast so you can get great conversations and make the day pass by a little more smoothly, because there's a lot of bullshit coming at us in 2017, and we need comedy. So I think that's it. Now that we got the Twitter handles out of the way, those are the tour dates. That's the merch info. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Lyric Lewis.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
That's Adam's freshly pressed shirt.
It's real fresh.
It's fresh.
It's a nice color.
It's not normal. Thank you. Yeah.
It's
right?
Like a nice iced plum.
Brad immediately was like, why are you so fancy?
Fancy.
See, guys, see, that's why I don't dress up, because, like, when you finally do, people, like, get accusatory. Like mm-hmm. I just said, like, wait, what the fuck? Who died? Like why?
It is always that.
Yeah.
You died.
Yeah. You have some big meeting. Someone died. Did you have a third grade recital you have to attend? Mm-hmm. What's the deal?
Do you have a commercial audition?
Like, whose panties you trying to snap?
Oh snap!
That's true.
Do you dress up a lot?
Semi.
You can fuck with that. Yeah. Look at that. It's
swirl. Expensive.
Yeah.
It's nice.
No, but like pull. You know, you can indie all the top. Yeah. There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Like half and half, because you know, like I'm very like, I like to be casual cute.
Yeah,
that's my thing.
Casual cute. Okay, that should be like a section of Old Navy.
It should,
where it's like, hey, casual cute.
Casual
just
cute.
Like we know you're trying to be fun, but you still want to be comfortable.
Exactly.
You're not trying to like outdo somebody.
No, but just for myself, so that way people are like, oh, she's sexy, but she's comfortable.
Yeah,
I like that.
Well, you're rocking that JP shirt pretty hard.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, it's like,
literally,
even that, you put that on, you go, look, I'm repping the movie that I love.
Exactly.
I'm also being comfortable, but I also know that this frames me up pretty well. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was reading some of your bios and articles and stuff to research for the podcast,
yeah.
And then almost in every article, it says how obsessed you are with Jurassic Park, and then you show up wearing a Jurassic Park shirt. It was like, well, of course. Like, so now do you feel that because this is in every interview that you have to wear like some sort of Jurassic Park thing on you at all times?
No.
This was
coincidence.
Nice. It was fresh. It was clean, and I was like, you know what? This is fun. I'm doing a fun thing.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
wearing my fun shirt, even though my puppy that we just got is named Dr. Alan Grant. So.
Oh my God, obsessed.
I have a permanent
much.
Reminder of it all the time.
Now,
oh my God,
one of these interviews I read said that you literally can do every line. Dinosaur sound, music cue, like you could essentially do this
what
with the movie, like when it comes on, like I'm
yeah.
like doo, 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 brah, and then like each
wait,
just
what part of the movie was
that? Yeah,
so that's like the beginning when it's like doo, 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 after the boom Jurassic Park. And then it's when they're still at Isla Nublar and they're like with the Velociraptor. And it's the one that's in the cage that's like going crazy. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And they're like, you know, she's okay. But then that man gets eaten.
Who's that man? What's his name?
It was that black man. They didn't even name him.
What? Because he was just a black dude.
He's a black man.
Son of a bitch. Horror movie or Jurassic Park movie, black guy gets it first. Son of a bitch.
Exactly. Spielberg didn't avoid it. He was like, I'm going to let him get ate real quick.
Yeah, then that guy with the accent that no one can really identify going, shoot her!
Yes, that guy!
That guy's great.
Wait, what do you...
Never again.
What do you love most about the movie? Like, when you first saw it, do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Life-changing, right?
I think so. I think... And I feel like it's the... what I loved about it has stayed since then. But I feel like... I mean, I always loved dinosaurs as a kid. I used to want to be a paleontologist. Like, I was into it. So when the movie came out, it came out at the right time that it kind of just meshed with, like, what I was reading. And mm-hmm. I think it was the actualization of dinosaurs in a movie that didn't look fake.
Right.
That made me just go... Like, they looked real.
Yeah, cool. Because, like, I'm trying to think of movies that had dinosaurs before. And, like, you had, like... Land of the Lost, mm-hmm. and that was like that really weird stop motion,
yeah.
like before Jurassic Park.
Alien, I mean, but not even dinosaurs. It was like, what other creature? Yeah. Tremors, I mean,
yeah, like you didn't have that where you go and like, I can't tell if that's the puppet or if that's the CGI.
And that's and then because they existed, so it was just like this thing of
right.
I think it just like blew me away as a kid, and after that, it's like the same weird nostalgic feeling even now. But I'm just like, and the story is great.
The story is great. That was
so
key.
Good.
Well, that's Spielberg. You know, he doesn't do a movie with a shitty story. Wait, so stop myself. Artificial intelligence. Actually, that wasn't that bad. It just wasn't.
Now we're not going to get Steven AI. On the podcast. Great, because you're going to listen to this episode and be like, you didn't like AI?
Yeah.
You didn't like me launching Jude Law's career? Oh, yeah.
He's even admitted that it was terrible. He spoke at a film class at USC, and I snuck in on it, and he brought it up and was like three or four times, like was very self-deprecating about it.
Yes, I love that.
But, I mean, I'm sure deep down he's like...
Now we're gonna do.
I thought it was great.
He's like, I made it.
We're gonna do a Jurassic Park quiz for you later.
Yeah,
and just see how well you do.
Now I'm nervous.
Yeah, because I've read it. It's there's some softballs. Don't get me wrong, but there's some deep cuts.
Oh, so the quiz you found is like a legit. It's not just questions you pulled together.
No,
if I fail on the podcast, I'm gonna have like the hardcore fanboys.
Oh yeah,
You're for the shit.
Yeah, stolen act. But like, with you being such a big fan, and then you being on Mad TV, where we've had Piot on the podcast, and his Jeff Goldblum is just ridiculously amazing. So do you
there's like backstory to that?
Do you demand that he talks as Jeff Goldblum all the time?
It was so weird.
There, pull this down even closer to the You can almost even hug it. There you go.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Piot did a cartoon voice on my boyfriend's cartoon years ago.
Okay.
And so when I got mad, it was random. And he was like, I don't know where it came from. And he's like, Piot. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I think he does that Jeff Goldblum that I made you listen to one day for like an hour. And it was him. And I was like, ew, that was Piot the whole time. So I just made him do it like once. But it was so weird to me because I was like, I've heard this Jeff Goldblum before.
Oh, I see. You only made him do it once. You have self-control. I made him do it all the time and on my voicemail.
I love that.
You didn't have him do any Jurassic lines?
I should have made him do that.
Damn. People were calling. I mean, I always have weird voicemails. And so then when he was doing it, I was obsessed because I love Goldblum. And I had him do it. And people legitimately were like, they'd either say great Goldblum because they thought I did it. Or they'd be like, how did you get Goldblum? Because I made it sound like I ran into him. And then I just handed him the phone.
I love that.
But I mean, you know, it was brilliant.
I might have to copy. I love that.
Just at least get him to say like life. Finds a way. Like at least get him to say that or something. Just on your voicemail or just as your text alert.
Yeah.
What's your voicemail? Is it standard? Yeah. Do you have a normal Hollywood?
Just like, you've reached 213. It's so boring. It's boring because I can't think of a good. Like I want it to be good.
Well, it's also like there is the like my mom always told me that to not mama always told me to not have a really jokey voicemail because she would say, for example, she's like, if Spielberg calls and hears just like stupid, like jokey voicemail, he's not going to put you in his movie. I was like, first of all, at this and by the way, this is when I still worked at Universal Studios. So I'm like, I doubt he's calling at this juncture in life.
He's
and
like,
if he is, I don't think of a voicemail where I'm pretending
we'll
to be.
Turn him off, and he's like, you know what?
The voicemail was like, what's up? This is JC Chazes from NSYNC. You reach Adam's voicemail, leave a message. You hear? And like stupid shit like that. Clearly not JC Chazes.
Is that his name?
Chazay?
Yeah.
Chazay.
See? I don't even know how to say his name.
Chazay.
But my mom heard that, and she was like, I really don't like this.
That's what Steven would judge you on. Like, it's Chazay, asshole. Like, I can't put a guy in that can't name JC Chazay.
I would actually, I'd put, if he knew that and correct me on that, then I would put AI on my top movie list.
There you go.
I love that.
Lyric, you were born in New Orleans.
Yes.
And then moved to Minnesota.
Yes.
When did you move to Minnesota from New Orleans?
I was 12, which is like the worst time in life to move.
Because that's right when you're getting established in like junior high and high school.
And it was I had some rough years.
Yeah. I mean,
how so?
I mean, first of all, I had like a really thick accent when I first moved. And I had a teacher.
Like a Cajun accent?
Like I used to say like bank it. Like I'd be like, oh my, like get off of the bank it. Like move over to the side and get on the other side of the bank it, baby.
Oh my God.
And I'd be like,
what the hell is a bank it?
The sidewalk.
Really?
Or I'd be like, oh, we finna have a buku fun over her house, and we finna go over there. But like, I had a
translation. We are excited that you are coming over tonight with pasta and meatloaf.
And I had a teacher in the sixth grade. I like loved to read and stuff like that. And I was like reading out loud, and she was just like, Lyric, we're gonna have to have somebody else read because like we can't understand you. And I was like, so crushed.
Yeah.
But it was also weird because like just social stuff with like kids, and like it's such a weird age to move, and like. All your best pals since I was like in kindergarten,
right,
are gone. I felt like a country bumpkin. Like Minnesota is like,
well, it's slow. Like, and it's not Midwest. It's not Louisiana,
but it's still. I still felt like I was like behind for some reason. Yeah. Like something like I didn't even know to wear lip chap at first.
Oh,
lip chap.
I was in the seventh grade, and I kid you not, I had this girl. Her name is Cheyenne. I'm sure she's a great person now, and she's like a mother. We were walking, and I was just being myself, and she was just like, God, and turned to me, and she goes, your lips are so fucking ashy, Lyric. Wear Carmex, and like gave me a tube like angrily, and I was like, and then I was like, have they been ashy this whole time? Like, yeah. I didn't know these things. New Orleans was much more humid.
Sure.
Maybe I didn't need lip balm, but like little shit like that, I was like.
Yeah. Minnesota is slow until the 2 weeks where there's, or 2 weeks out of the year where there's sunshine, and then everything gets done.
Yeah,
yes.
Like everything, like an entire skyscraper will get built in like a week and a half because they're like, we have 2 days to build this entire thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes,
until we can't do it anymore. And I don't know if this is an actual thing or maybe just me going into an inappropriate place. But was there a racial issue? Because I don't think there's a lot of black people in Minnesota.
There aren't. One of my uncles teased me about that mercilessly. That he was like, you're gonna be the only one. Mm-hmm. Good luck. And I was like terrified.
Yeah,
there are because a lot of like people from like Chicago and like the other parts of the Midwest come there. It's not as like New Orleans was 60% black when I lived there. So it was like way different, but they still are there. It's just like way more mixed up.
Gotcha. What was the main reason for moving?
My mom got a job offer.
Gotcha.
And she like worked with the Arts Council in New Orleans. So she got like another like school job there. And so the school system is like a lot better in Minnesota, and like it's clean, and like it's very family oriented and like stuff like that.
Because there's a lot of
There's a lot of state money. Because they're white people.
Because there's a lot of white people. I don't know why you guys are whispering, but.
I got good parks. Because
I don't want people to realize that I'm being kind of racial and saying that white people may. Yeah, well, like, it's still audible. It's still recorded.
Nice and clean.
No, it's okay if I whisper it. It's not a big deal
it's
at all.
It's not a big deal. Okay.
It's not going to come back. So quiet racism is how you get away with it.
Quiet racism. Yeah. That's
very
how you do
quiet.
It.
Did you act in New Orleans? I did
summer theater camp for like 3 years. That's when I first got into it. So every summer, the whole summer, I was just doing plays and like touring to other summer camps, which is so weird.
Wait, you became like one of the... like the older statesmen, so you would go to the other.
We go to other like less fortunate summer camps, and we would like put on a show for them. We do really
dope.
Rosie for them.
This is what's possible.
Yes, and we would do that I did that the whole summer, and then so I performed.
Was it a hobby at that point, or did it start to become a drug? And you were like,
become a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was there one role or one show and performance that you just like you felt the crowd energy, and you're like, oh shit, this performing thing is. Once I lose this accent and go live near white people, I'm gonna really turn it up a notch.
We were doing this play called Wanna Play, and there was this big like gospel solo that I like got that summer, and I like won it, and it was like just this showstopper. And
singing?
It like close the So it was like I had to act the beginning of it, and then like everyone else was in my choir and I was like the choir leader, and that's when I was like, yes, oh, girl.
And you just owned it. It was just like a comfortable like situation.
Mm-hmm. Now when you go up to Minnesota, then are you like, great, now all the stuff that I, all the like relationships I've made down in Louisiana and all the acting camps, and now I was like a big, I was like big shit down there, and now I'm,
I gotta start over.
Yeah, now I'm going to Minnesota.
I know. My little boyfriend at the time would like write me letters though.
That's adorable.
Company. There you go. Long distance relationship. Also a waste of paper.
He wrote me poems. Yeah. He wrote me poems.
Look at what? That.
He did.
Still have them?
I remember one.
Please.
Oh. I don't know why I remember it, but
you
I remember
it. You have
to do
it. Yep. We're not his saying name. His name, so we don't know.
Can you do it as Viola Davis?
A diamond is a diamond. A pearl is a pearl. No matter where you go, you'll always be my girl. 100 is 100 and a few is a few. No matter where you go, I will always love you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
that was incredible.
Already very sweet, but the passion that Viola brings to that.
Yeah. And A, not a bad poem.
No, kind of a great poem.
Kind of a great poem.
We were only 12 and he
no shit.
Great.
Dude, that's the power of love. Not to quote Huey Lewis in your poem, but that's like,
that's that. Wait, he wrote that at 12?
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
that
we
makes,
were 12.
I will always love you. He was doing like Whitney Houston lyrics.
Dude, we were writing poems like roses are red, violets are blue, you smell really great, I'd love to put my fingers in you. Like it was like really like that's much more romantic.
I hope that's an Adam Ray original.
It is. But not when I was 12 and I was 22. So
that's when we finally got to that reading level.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so you were smitten at 12, yeah.
And then I had to move and started all over in Minnesota. Wow.
But also exciting, right? I think a change of scenery is like,
it was.
Obviously, and you're pumped for your mom because of the job situation.
The job situation. And it was fun. And like I said, Minnesota was very different. But I don't know if we did different shit because like I just didn't notice it in New Orleans. But like we don't have a state fair in Louisiana. So like it was my first time going to a state fair like ever and like eating deep fried besides like chicken and shrimps and fish, but like Oreos and like all of that stuff.
Yeah,
so
all the Midwest
bored white people food. I'm bored. Let's fry up a Snickers bar.
Let's go to 7-Eleven, take all the stuff on the candy aisle, dip it in the deep fryer, and eat it.
Yeah. Yes. And you're like, that's stupid. That's idiotic. Let me take a bite. Holy shit, Cletus. Yeah. Like, that's unbelievable.
So I got exposed to that. So that was like great. And just like, well, we have like swamps and stuff in Louisiana. So like lakes and falls and like just the different scenery of the different part of the country. I thought was like so dope. And snow. I'd never seen snow. I'd never been that cold ever.
Wow.
So just that was mind blowing. Like making a real snowman, like.
Right.
That I thought it didn't exist, but on TV.
And especially being in a place like Louisiana, which it's like, oh, well, it's chilly today at 78. Mm-hmm. And then going to Minnesota, which is, it's hot today at -15.
Yeah.
That's the climate change had to be ridiculous.
Even though I'm still not used to it, but.
Yeah. And like, I've been up to Alaska, and the coldest weather I was ever in was -30. And at that point, I try to describe it to people, like, if there's any square centimeter of skin that is exposed, you know it the second you walk out that door.
Yeah.
You just walk out and go, oh, hip,
it
right
burns.
There. Oh, it's just insane.
That's crazy.
Now, like, and you start doing, and you continue doing theater up there. And now, do you remember a point where you go, like, oh, this is what I'm going to do. Not this is a hobby, but this is what I'm, or even a hobby I truly enjoy, but this is what I'm going to do.
I would say probably, because I did it in high school. I toured as well with our touring theater in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I feel like it was still fun, and I knew I wanted to, I knew I liked like entertaining people.
Right.
So I feel like I knew it was that broad that I was like, I like saying a joke, or like I like to be the goofy one that like does that.
Yeah.
I think it probably was college, which is like late. But
and you went to Syracuse, yes. So you got used to the cold and was like, I'll stick up here.
I'll do this lake effect snow because it's cute.
Were there improv groups at Syracuse?
No. So I always knew like I kind of wanted to act. And like as soon as I got there, because the program at Syracuse is very much trained to be like classically trained. Like okay. You are Shakespeare, you are Tartuffe, you are your Molière, your Meisner. Like you are classically trained to like perform on stage.
I knew. And film. But like, I know one of those names, and I'm very proud of myself.
You better
Tartuffe?
Be.
No, I knew Meisner.
Meisner.
The Meisner technique.
But I went there, and we had movement classes, so okay. Which I was not a fan of, but I was like, we were required to take them. And one day our teacher was sick, and a teacher came in and taught us clown, which is like a form of like the early thing of like improv.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we did that, and like that one class busted it wide open. Like I knew wow. I was always loved like in Living Color. I watched it with my mom when I was little on like SNL and like Mad TV. So I was like, oh, they always was kind of like the bridge between like live theater and TV to me, that I was like, mm-hmm. This is the perfect medium for me. I like being in front of people.
Right.
But that clown class is when I was like, oh, I need to be improvising and like doing sketch. And like, yeah. That's what I want to do.
What about that clown class? Because that's almost exactly what went down for me when I took a clown really? Class when I studied abroad in London my junior year. Uh-huh. And they had that. And it was just so eye-opening because it was like another level. It was also, it was just like very specific as far as like, going deeper into like comedy and yourself and getting and finding like characters and getting bigger. And mm-hmm. It was, and it also too, it was like my first taste of like, improv and really yeah. kind of being fearless, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you really connect with about it?
The first thing that came to mind, I feel like we did an exercise with music where mm-hmm. it was like to like contemporary songs that people know, like Whitney Houston and stuff like yeah. that. But it was so weird because to do it now, it sounds silly. Like I'm like, oh, this is so easy. But she just literally was like, you know, improvise and not as you would, but like we had to start with like just movement, like random movement, like as an animal, mm-hmm. and then that morphed into like a person. And then she was like, okay, just move like this with no music, which is terrifying because you're what is this?
You're so insecure.
And then she was like, she played a song, and so like a friend song that my friend did was Whitney Houston's I Have Nothing.
Yeah.
And so she was like, play that for a little bit, and then she was like, I want you to sing the entire song, but like with no words, but like with everything to us. And so then we're just like performing all these songs that we knew with no words, but like playing with people. And that was the first time that I was like, oh, this is just loose and fun, but you had to improvise and kind yeah. of like your movements because you didn't have the music to like mm-hmm. actually be there. But that's the first thing I remember that I was like, this is dope. Like, I want to do this all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, what is this? Because at this point, I still didn't even know there was like improv.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
So I was like,
existed.
What is this?
Yeah.
That's so crazy how, like, if you don't, I mean, even seeing it on TV, you don't totally, when you first start to see it, you don't have any idea of how people get to that point, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. How do you, like, when we're in high school and even in college, when you go like, oh, how do you think someone gets on SNL? I'm like, I don't fucking, like, I have no idea. I have no clue.
They show up and they do a funny voice.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, cool, you want to go do that on the show real quick?
Right.
We're actually taping it right now. You're like, that's probably how they do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. you have no idea. And now when you're out in Syracuse and you know that like, okay, this is something I want to pursue, are the parents supportive? Are they like, yeah, you should do that? Or are they like, no, become a paleontologist because you like Jurassic Park so much?
Yeah. No, my dad was like halfway there. We won't even discuss him. But my mother
yeah.
was all about it. I mean, she knew that. She said, like, since I was little, I was always like a performer. So she was always very into it. And I wanted to be like a forensic scientist when I was like, I loved science. So I love like very like technical like things also, which is weird. So I love that stuff. But for this, my mom was just kind of like, do it. Like, she literally told me, do it before your body starts to crack. And you like,
jeez, you're like, mom, I'm like in high school. God.
But she was like, do I got it some before time. You get all of this and like babies. Like she was like, do it while you are beautiful and young.
Yeah.
And she was just,
do it until children ruin your life. Not a specific example. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not talking about anybody in the room right now. Yeah, I love
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Do it. But yeah, so she was like 100% behind it and was just awesome. Was like, follow your dreams, boo. So then I started doing my research.
Mm-hmm.
And like I watched we watched Scary Movie every weekend my freshman year.
Yeah.
And what also it was so weird, but Regina Hall, who was the girl in Scary Movie, she was the one that like, because I'd seen comedy and sketch, and outside of like Kim Wayans, I feel like I'd never really seen black women do sketch comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the longest, I was like, oh, this is funny, but like no one like looked like me. And I remember Regina Hall in Scary Movie, and I thought she was so funny and so pretty, and I was just like, oh, like I want to be like that, like,
yep.
Cause she was so like so goofy.
Yep.
Granted it was like a movie and it was her role, but I was like, that's the type of stuff that I want to do.
Wow.
All is I want to be that girl. I would rather be that girl than like the cute one. I'm like, I want to be her, like, mm-hmm. being embarrassed.
It's so crucial to like identify with somebody like that when you're starting out to be, I mean, it's see somebody that makes it feel attainable and that you can relate to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was that way with Meryl Streep when I first saw A River like, Wild. I go,
that's someone who looks like me.
Yeah. And I go, and that's something I can do. I can pretend to not want Kevin Bacon in my raft.
Yeah.
Yes.
But let's be honest, if push comes to shove,
you would allow
Bacon's
Bacon
always
to
getting
be
on the raft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's
just because of the stories.
I mean, and that's the title of your one act play, Bacon's Always on the Raft. Which is a nice pun, because also Jewish, so you're not supposed to have bacon on the raft.
Oh, but then you have, wow.
You have,
double meaning.
You have bacon on the raft.
It. Bacon's always in
the,
yeah.
I see it.
Okay.
So I think you should write.
What you're saying is get going, Adam Ray.
Bacon's always in my raft. Yeah. The Adam Ray story.
That's not the Adam Ray story. Oh my God. He could never keep kosher.
And then, like, so now she's being supportive, and you're all the way out in Syracuse. So,
yes.
At that point, do you have a plan maybe to go to New York City? Or, like, where do you think that you're going to take this?
So, Syracuse loves to bring back alum, which I'm waiting for my phone call as we speak. So, Dean
hey.
Of Visual and Performing Arts, I'm available for the bookings.
Okay. Yeah, let's go fucking Dino's Barbecue and have a damn time.
Dinosaur Barbecue, yes.
Oh, fuck yeah, I know Dinosaur Barbecue.
Yes, you do.
I've been in the Syracuse Funny Bone. It's great.
So, I was there. So, they bring back alum. And so, one time, they brought back Tay Diggs. And so, Tay came back and just was, like, hanging. Now talking to us, and they make us do this big presentation to every class, like the acting majors, musical theater, everybody. And so I asked them a question, and I was just like, well, first of all, it was like a really weird panel, because they had him and they had this guy that graduated with him that was like, I forgot his homeboy's name, but he wanted to do just film.
Okay.
I remember. And
was it like, it's Tay Diggs and the fifth hockey player from Mighty Ducks who happened to go to Syracuse.
Do you remember that TV show Couple that was on for like one season on NBC?
Maybe.
He was on that and it got canceled hard.
Wow. And but he's still on TV.
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't. And so that, like, they used his story, sadly, as like an example.
He got on the show that never aired.
Because I asked him, and I was like, you know, I have this degree, and I was like, you know, obviously, like, I do theater, and I was like, but I feel like I really want to do film and like TV. And I was like, but like, should I just go to New York for like a year? Because like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, drama major. Mm-hmm.
You always are just trying to compare off of other people's stories and be like, what was that path? Everyone is that my path?
And then at first Tay was like, you know, no, he was like, you know, I would go to LA if you want to do film and TV. And he was like, there's like none in New York. And he was like, you will like waste your time. And then this guy jumped in and he was like, don't let me be an example. And he was like, I should have went to Los Angeles immediately. And he's like, but I followed Tay to New York to like try to act. And he was like, felt like he wasted like, you know, a couple years, and then finally came there and got this pilot, but then like it didn't get picked up. And he was like, and now I'm like, kind of
now I'm giving speeches to college kids.
And then Tay Diggs, he's like, you know, I went to New York, I got Carousel, obviously, and then Rent, and then I Still Got Your Groove Back, and then like his career just like blossomed. But he was like, I followed my dream, and I like wanted to do theater. And he was like, and everything came from like my general what was there. So he was like, if you really want to do TV, he was like, just don't waste your time in New York, go to LA. And so I was like, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
He gave me permission.
By the way, we'll get
so drunk.
We'll get to that eventually, but your drunk history for that reason was legendary. So but that's not an actual catchphrase that you use?
I used it during the CBS Diversity Showcase. Like, me and our friends, we would say it to each other. We'd be like, cool, 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 tight, tight, tight. And we would, like, make fun of, like, the writers and stuff with it. They'd be like, can you wear a costume? Yeah, cool, 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 tight, tight, tight. No, not wearing a costume for you.
So then you're like, okay, so then I have to go to LA.
Los Angeles.
I have to go to LA.
So Tay Diggs was very instrumental in you
coming out
here.
He was. I mean, like, it's because of him that I was like, I'm going to listen to this chocolate man tell me to come. He has great skin, by the way. He has great skin.
Of course.
He's perfect.
He has amazing skin.
And he follows everyone on Twitter.
Does he?
Yeah. He
Tay!
Yeah.
By the way, from the makers of Bacon on the Raft, come, I'm going to listen to that chocolate man.
It was
the Lyric Lewis story.
So I did my research, and then I was like, okay, what am I going to do? Because I can't just
he follows 703,000 people. Sorry, I just
Tay,
had to.
Come on, Tay. We're fellow alumnus.
Reel it
in.
You
gave me great advice. So I started just like researching people's career that I liked. I felt like such a dork for doing this because I'm like, no one else is doing this. Mm-hmm. But I was like, if I'm going to go to LA, like, what kind of, like, who do I want to be?
Yeah.
And so everyone, like, Chris Kattan, Jennifer Coolidge is one of my boos. I love her. So, like, Coolidge, Sherry O'Terry, just, like, all these funny, dope-ass people and women, they all came to the Groundlings. And so that's why I was like, oh, when I go to L.A., I'll just go to this place and, like, train there. Because my thing is that I feel like I approach acting, like, and I, like, very methodical where I'm like, if I'm going to do this, like, I need to be the best that I can be. And I'm like, I'm going to train. Like, it's not enough for me to just be like.
No, you can't just show up to auditions and be like, my natural talent will make them demand my fame.
My fame, yeah.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
And to me, I took great pride in being like, I want to do what people that I admire did. And I'm like, I love Kristen Wiig. And I'm like, if I want to be neck and neck with them, I need to train exactly like they did.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. So I came out here, auditioned to get in, and just started the Groundlings program there with like no goal of like main company or Sunday. I literally was like, I just want to get as far as I can get with the same tools that these people had in their tool belt.
Like, and you know what? I really admire that mindset because I think it is healthy to set goals in this business, you know, like whether like for us in stand-ups, like I want to do a special by this year or I want to have a late night. I want to, you know, but there's so much uncertainty and you can't, goals are so lofty in this business. They're like, you can kind of be like, I want this to happen, but it's like, dude, there's a lot that's not in your control. And what you can control is getting in the program and being like, I'm going to crush it. I'm going to do all the work.
I'm going to prepare.
And I'm going to be ready for these opportunities that come my way whenever they come my way.
Yes.
You can't be like, I want Mad TV by year two right before I get in the main company.
Right.
Unless you did say that.
I didn't, but it worked out serendipitously.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Was anyone in like the main company that we would know of like when you got into Groundlings?
Ooh.
Like your teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
I think Melissa McCarthy was still in.
Okay, wow.
When I started, and I kick myself now because like I didn't see a ton of shows then, but I think she was like regularly performing like all the time.
Yeah, people totally forget that, which is bonkers.
Like you know, and she was there for a while. Her and her husband,
her and Ben,
and then you see her kill it on SNL and create original characters, and you're like, what? How did she create?
Yeah.
Who wrote her that character? And you're like, well, no. she did.
She brought that with her in her little backpack. Who else was there? Jeez.
Just because, like, I know people. I think people hear about the Groundlings, but their alumni is just
insane,
incredible.
Yeah, I think a lot of like the big dogs left like right before like Kristen and like all of them was like that 2010 like
was Taryn Killam there?
No, I think he had just got SNL.
Yeah.
Mikey was technically still there.
Yeah.
He just left. Who else? Rash was still there, Rash.
That company and not even just SNL people, but just a bunch of other actors and performers and comedians.
Like a chunk of the original Mad TV, like Mary Shear, Phil Lamar, Michael McDonald.
Oh, that's right. What did you find about the Groundlings right off the bat that you were like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be?
I think because, and I think it's the thing that people feel like the Groundlings is hard, but I don't know if it's because like I went to like school for theater and like I did it for a while where I really liked the fact that it was hard. Like I liked the fact that I had to audition to get in. Like something about that I was like, cause I felt like, you know, it seemed serious to me.
Yep.
Cause I took it as, I didn't even start it as like, oh, like I think this was before improv was like fun to do.
Yeah.
Where it was still like, I took it as like a grad school. So I was like, I want this person to be like, let me have it if I'm not coming correct. And that each class was hard, each level got harder. Like I don't like stuff that's like very not easy, but you know what I mean,
just not challenging.
Like, well, and it all and it one thing that I feel like the Groundlings does very quickly is it weeds out the people that are just like, oh, I'll take a weird improv class so I can be better at work, or or so I can be better in meetings, or this is a fun hobby. Like, it's like, no.
Yeah,
it's work like here to make you into seasoned performers with talents that could... We're a stepping stone to get to another level.
Yes.
This is not the final thing.
Yes, and for them, I also really vibe with the fact that I wanted to consider myself like a comedic actress. Like, that was very... That was a thing for me that I was like, I don't want to just be an actress. Like, I want to be a comedic character actress. Like, I'm like, I want people to think of me as like her who does every character, and it's not just like in a movie.
Yeah.
It's like weird, but... That mattered to me.
No, you want to be labeled, and, mm-hmm. and that's the label you want, and that's fine. Like, there's a lot of stand-ups that, like, I want to be known as a stand-up comic before anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be like, oh, yeah, Brad Williams, comedian. So you want to be labeled as a comedic actress.
Yes.
And do you remember sort of, and you're still in it, so it's not like this is in your past, because you're in the main company now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which,
by the way,
all,
come on. Oh, that's awesome. Fucking incredible.
Fucking awesome.
I mean.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so what sort of main lessons do you learn there?
Within the main, or just at the Groundlings?
Life lessons?
At the Groundlings.
Ooh, yeah, like life lessons?
Well, I want to know, because I took 2 years of classes there, and I want to know, like, what... There were certain games I remember doing that, like, were so freeing, and that took... Again, going back to that fearlessness thing, it was like... Where I thought I was, you know, very... I took a lot of risk, and I was like, I'll do anything for a laugh. And then I found myself in certain instances where I was like, oh, shit, like, I'm definitely feeling a little out of my zone here, but I know I'm going to get better from this.
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, a game or a certain... exercise, maybe a scene partner or teacher that pulled that out of you, that made, or did you go in
the first teacher that came to mind is a teacher I had for a writing lab, which was Karen Mariama.
Yeah.
And she will pull it out. She will either pull it out or it's not in there to get pulled, because she does not play. But she was the one, and she was... And the one thing I feel like, I guess, what the Groundlings has taught me is that to be just, like, authentic and not, like, a caricature, but, like, just to be people that you see. But then also for me, was she's Japanese, and when I had her in class, I don't know what it is that I feel like when you first do... I don't know if this is for everybody, but for me, I didn't realize that I was not even being generic, but, like, playing characters of what I thought. And she was the first one that was, like... look at the wall across the street. And she was like, how many people you see over there that look like you? And I was like, none. And she was like, I don't want to see one more character that isn't, that they better be black. And at first I was like, what? But then she like got it down to the bare bones, where she was like, all of this needs to come from an authentic place here, or else it's like bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Make them specific.
Meaning like based on people you know,
that
right?
You know. And she was like, you know, if you want to be a dumb cheerleader girl, make her your cousin that's a cheerleader. And she was like, and it is different than a general cheerleader.
Yeah.
And right. Everyone, and it's little stuff like that I was like, wow. But I feel like that's the biggest, I feel like, nut that you get from there, is that like, to just make it specific. Like, anybody can be clever or like...
Sure.
Stand and talk.
Yeah.
And anytime I do a drunk dude, it's always an old roommate of mine. Like, I'm channeling when he slept on the stairs and I came home and he had the stoves on and all the showers on and all the lights on and he was passed out on his bed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, but, and you learn that not just from stuff in scene work, but even as stand-ups.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, like, your first couple of years of stand-up comedy, you're doing what you think people think is funny.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or emulating people that you look up to.
Yeah. And then you figure out, oh no, this is not who I am.
Yeah.
I need to just talk about stuff that I think is funny and that I truly believe, and stories that either actually happened to me or that I know of, so I have a way to relate to it. And I imagine it's the same thing with characters. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, don't play a cheerleader that you think is a cheerleader.
Be somebody
you know, and just make them a cheerleader.
Yeah.
And that is amazing, simple advice, but yet you see so many people not follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's pretty damn insane. When does Mad TV get on your radar?
Ooh, well, like, I always loved it. Like, I,
the old casts, yeah,
yes, grew up watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Loved Deborah always, and like Nicole Sullivan, and like, well, like, just like ate it up as a kid. I don't even know why I feel like it was. I don't know what, I think I was like 9, where I'm like, I probably shouldn't have been watching this, but I was. And I was very into it.
Were you a rebel that way? Did you sneak away to like watch?
Yes, even though I watched In Living Color with my mother, and I was younger for that, so I don't know what that was. We would watch it together and eat dinner.
That's amazing.
And I thank her for that now. And
another instrumental move.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For exposing me to this.
And but also, In Living Color, more so, certainly more so than SNL, had people that looked like you on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And had to be like, look, this is what you can do.
Yeah.
You know, rather be.
That had to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Because I watched it forever.
Mm-hmm. It's not like she's going to be like, well, here's the Golden Girls. Like, you can relate.
You can relate to thank you for being. Even that song is the shit. I love that song.
If you can't relate to Blanche in some way, I don't even want to know you.
What's the saying?
Thank you for being a friend?
No, it's a Dorothy in the streets, but a Blanche in the sheets.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, know that's not yours, but damn it, make a t-shirt.
I saw it on a t-shirt, and I was I keep wanting to buy it, and I keep forgetting about it.
With both their faces on it?
Yes, Dorothy in the streets with Blanche in the sheets. I was like, yes.
They were all incredible.
That's going to be a tattoo that I get.
Yes!
I'll get a tattoo of Bea Arthur.
Yeah,
why not?
Yes.
She was a god.
But the new mad, so when that got on the boop, boop.
Yep.
So my boyfriend, so like this was right as I was like getting to closing out Sunday Company,
mm-hmm.
crossing my finger for Vote Into Maine.
Yeah, and for those who don't realize, Groundlings, you take, like, what are the levels of
So
Groundlings?
You have, when I started, because there's an extra now, but when I started it was basic, which is like 6 or 12 weeks, sure. intermediate 6 or 12 weeks, Writing Lab, which I think Writing Lab is also just 6 weeks, but it's like a writing intensive. You're there like all day on a Saturday. Then advanced is 12 weeks. You're there for 8 hours on a Saturday. You mm-hmm. do 2 sketch shows. You either get voted into Sunday Company or not. Sunday Company rotation is every 6 months. You pitch every, it's like very much an SNL schedule. You pitch every Wednesday. You get your sketch list on Thursday. You do your rewrites Thursday and Friday. You costume shop Friday and Saturday. You memorize in between that time. Wow. It's a new show on Sunday. Most of them are new shows every Sunday for 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, you get voted on again.
Wow.
After 3 6 months, so 18 months is the general stay. They're doing this for a year and a half. Then it's a final vote either into Main Company or you are done with the Groundlings program.
Wow. Whoa.
You're out.
So,
like they
Sundays,
do they do like a do they do like a Phil Kogan Survivor ceremony?
That's oh,
or were they like they torches out?
No, that would be worse.
That could be a
that would be so much worse. They put out just little fires.
By the way, that is such a either a inspiring, encouraging moment or like very discouraging, depressing.
Yeah,
I mean, move back to where you came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens though.
Oh yeah, because you get, you know, close with the people that you're performing with, and mm-hmm. especially with Sunday Company, it's like it's unpaid. So like you're buying costumes, you're buying wigs, you're buying your costuming. It might be $150 for a sketch that goes up one time and it's done, and then you have to just eat that and kind of keep writing continually while you're memorizing, while you're doing a show, to just keep, like, it's insane.
And I love that you're saying exactly what goes into it, because I know that, and you probably saw a ton of these people. Mm-hmm. There was probably a ton of people that got into the Groundlings going, well, I'm probably going to be on SNL in like a year and a half.
Yeah, and
you're
like, no.
Good luck with that.
And it's such a weird thing because like we still like don't even know when Lauren shows up. Like it's mm-hmm. still like a, it's still so hard even, and even once you get into Maine, like, it's like a relief, but you're still, we're still doing our own shows. You know what I mean? So it's still like for a chance to maybe get seen.
What was the biggest challenge of like each week putting up a show, like in the Sunday Company of like, it was obviously all new material, right?
Most of it. Sometimes things will repeat for a couple weeks if it's like a hit.
Okay.
Sure.
Then you'll get lucky.
Does it get extremely supportive and cohesive, or does it get a little competitive where you're like, shit, man, we are in LA and we are. It's like when comics are on a showcase show. Like, you want to be the best one that night. So, I mean, does it get a little, or is everybody so supportive? Like, everyone's.
I got lucky. I've heard of Sunday Companies before that was like very competitive and it was kind of like whatever. But each six that I had, everybody was kind of like there with each other because everyone is exhausted. Yeah. Everybody, nothing is funny. You've written everything, every sketch. And I feel like the director kind of helps keep it very even.
Mm hmm.
So, but yeah, it's just more, I would say, just to try to keep your own momentum up and try to feel funny when you put up a sketch that killed with the rest of the company and no one laughs. And then you're 10 seconds into it and you got 4 minutes left for no one to laugh at you. And then you have to get off stage, change your costume and go into something else and
not dwell on
it. And you don't have time to like cry or be sad. Like that's the keeping that up and being like, I'm funny.
Yeah. And you're relying. It's hard. It's tough to fight with these people because you're relying on them.
You need them to write with. You need them to memorize your sketches that you cast them in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's all you have. It's sort of like, I don't care if you don't get along. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's going to be a horrible experience.
Because 6 months is a long time.
Yeah. To spend every week in that kind of stress level with people that you don't like.
So you're just about to get it. So you find out. What's that like?
Oh, that got into me.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like because I feel like I am also one of these people that I never want to feel like I know anything. Is that weird?
Sure.
So no matter how much I feel like I killed something, I always walk away and I'm just like there's a billion other factors going into this besides me feeling like I was dope.
Yeah.
But it was crazy. My director called me and was just like, we equals now. And I was like,
nice.
And it was just so great. But then it's like, it's so great and it's so real. Like, I think I cried a little because I was so like, I was exhausted at that point.
You have to be. They even give a week off every 2 to 3 weeks in SNL. Like, since you do 6 weeks of doing an SNL show every week.
And it's like,
that's insane.
Yeah. So it was.
How do you make money when you're doing that? Because you're not making money in the Sunday company. Like, you're not making money there.
You have to, like, figure it out, like literally. Jeez. Like you have to work your work. Like,
where were you working?
I started teaching science to like after school kids. So I would go after school for like barely like this much money, but like, and I had a full time job before, so I'd like kind of saved little. But then I did that to kind of sustain myself and like get gas money and just enough money to like buy costumes and like wigs and be like, I hope this. Dude. And like wigs are like 60, 30, 40, 50 bucks. And I'm like, I'm not buying like a dress. I'm buying a wig.
Wow. That has to be.
That adds up.
That has to be insane to, because I'm trying to picture about how much money you're making doing that stuff. And you're like, you're spending half of your net worth on a fucking wig.
On a wig, yes.
For a sketch that may or may not go over well.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? If you're listening and you want to do this, that's what
takes.
You have to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got to be all in.
You got to be.
You can't be like, I'll buy a couple wigs a month.
You got to go in. And I would say it's worth it. And you can do it smart. Like I'm like a baby hustler at heart. So I did it very smart. I borrowed wigs. I recycle some. You can flip a wig backwards and it's a brand new haircut.
There you go.
It's a new person.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's definitely ways to
do it. Makes you get creative and resourceful.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why this made me think of an alum that was still there at the time. Stephanie Courtney was still there while I was like taking classes. I don't know why she just popped in my head.
That's Flo.
Progressive, yeah.
Wow. There you go.
I don't know why she, that's so
random. I mean,
and then you wonder why she is this great spokesperson. And you know that in those commercials, that's probably not a lot of, like a lot of her improv-ing.
Yeah.
Like when she has those moments. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Do you think she could have maybe
fucking money
donated some wigs during her, during you guys' time? You know?
I think maybe I'm going to ask her when I leave. I'm going to be like, Stephanie,
maybe a
I
couple
know
checks.
You still got wigs. Yeah. I know that Steve Little just left and he like just gave the Sunday company his wigs. And I saw him last night and I was like, oh, but where was you with the wig donation when I needed a wig?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Steve.
I mean, so you're in the main company now. And then is it just almost immediately after that you hear about the Mad TV reboot?
Yeah. Like literally my boyfriend sent me an article that when Variety announced it, like the next day. And I sent it to my manager, my agents. And I was like, y'all need to find a way. Who we got a bully to get up in here? Like, it's like a half joke, but I was like, I need to do this.
Right,
like,
we got to break some kneecaps. We got to intimidate. We got to do something. Here. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this show was like, I was like, I always wanted to do it since I was little. I was like, it was just so dope. Like, I was like, we need to do it. And they were just like, okay. And of course, I was like, okay, like, we'll see. But then, like, it all happened. And I was, and my agent said it the other day, like, he was like, it's so weird that, like, you emailed and was like, we need to figure this out.
Yeah.
And he was like, and then, like, you did it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I know there's people out there listening going, you see, the secret is real. It's real.
You say it, you put it out there, it happens.
You put it on your vision board. You stare at it every day, and it'll just happen. You don't have to work. You just stare at something.
Yes, no, guys. I worked my ass off.
Yes, you
guys.
Did. My God, that is just an insane schedule.
Now, Carly and Pia broke down their audition process. Mm. Do you, in fact, sharing yours, was it as grueling? Do you feel like it was, were you prepared for all the, because it was, that was exhausting.
Yeah, it was.
Like, I mean, I can't imagine feeling the exhaustion of the Groundlings whole program and then getting to the, and then finally hearing you got in, but like, when I heard I got, I mean, and I had to go back twice, and it was just like, it was the most exhausting audition process I've ever been a part of. Not only for the sake of how long it was and the amount of times that you're like, I need to be locked in again for a long amount of hours, but the amount of material that was thrown at us that was kept changing, and that, I don't know how you work, but I mean, I'm assuming you're like, I need to be off book for this shit. I need to like, right?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was grueling for me. Like, even for me, I was just like, okay, Julie, like, what else we need to see, people?
Yeah.
But, and I think what helped me was just being fresh out of Sunday Company is that I was so used to taking material and, like, eating it up and, like, being like, I have 5 minutes to memorize this. Like,
do it.
And just doing that. But, yeah, like, the first time, and it was exhausting. And I have a teacher, this guy I'm training with right now, that says that if you get up and do improv and you're not exhausted by the time you're done, you're doing it wrong. And I feel like that's how I kind of approach like sketches and like character, where I'm like, if I'm not like, I need to be going in. Like, if I don't come out like, whoo, then I'm just like, I'm not giving them my whole
gift.
Yeah. So that's how I went into like the first round. And that, what was it, like 3 hours? And we left and I was like, I actually met you that first day.
Yeah.
You walked out and we were like, ah.
Yeah.
And you were very nice, Adam.
Oh, good.
You were very sweet on the street. You said hi.
Yeah, do we have
we didn't have anything to say. I had it with Amir.
That's right.
Because Amir kissed me.
Yeah, in the
room the first day. Amir was getting fresh.
Jesus. Part of a sketch or just like, this seems right.
This seems right. Granted, they were like a
that
couple.
Persian confidence.
But yeah. And I was like, oh.
See, I feel like Persians can do that because they can be like, what? It is my country. Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this.
Let me tell you about this.
Yeah.
They can do that. Sly dog, Amir.
I was like, okay, Amir.
Okay, yeah.
Go get it.
Cool. Tie.
Cool. I was like, But I mean, it was exhausting. But I don't know why. I loved every step of the process.
Yeah.
It was so, the length of it was like, I kept being like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Julie.
More mixing and matching. You're like, really? You guys don't know? But
yeah, but I liked it. But I think I kind of get, like, not get off on it because that sounds weird. But, like, that, like, excites me.
For sure.
Like, oh, you want to see another character? You want to see another take on this?
No, yeah. I totally understand that. And there, it rather be, like, a chip on the shoulder or a sort of reverse psychology or, like, whatever you want to say. There is an amazing satisfaction of someone challenging you at something and then you coming through with it. So, yeah, I totally get
After
that.
After the test, though, that's when they had my nerves.
Yeah. What did you find?
It was not cute.
I wish the listeners could see your eyes when you said that.
So we did the test, and like that was my second network test.
Yeah.
But like the same pilot season, so aside, and the first one like I didn't get, so I was like, bummed after one.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh man, this is my chance. Like as I just went into a weird character.
Yeah.
I was like, this is my dream. I was like, I didn't get that other job because this job is my dream
job.
And I was like, the universe knew that Mad TV was coming back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did the test. I felt like I killed him. But and it was so small and selective for so long. You remember this, Adam?
Yeah.
That I was like, well, clearly they're not going to do this just to like, you know, like have it be like, oh, never mind. So we do the test.
Who is that? Wait,
what character
is
that?
I don't even know what person is. Never mind.
Never mind. It's like you're going to have Cartman. Like, never mind.
Oh, can we please talk about member berries later? Because I love them. You member?
You member?
Oh, I member. I love them.
You remember Boba Fett?
Oh, I member.
Remember Boba Fett?
You member?
Remember the Sarlacc pit?
Oh, I member. My favorite.
Remember Tauntauns?
You mean it's we like I if I could say anything.
Why am I doing it in the Cartman voice?
Matt Parker, I love member berries. Y'all done did it with the member berries. This is my favorite season of South Park just because of the member berries. Oh, they're so dumb. I love them. Okay.
The scene where they go to the member berry club, they go,
yes.
What's the password? Oh, the password. I remember. You remember? I remember. Okay, that's the password.
Yeah, they're all just in there going, you remember? Oh, I remember. And so there's great. The mafia one that's like, you remember? I can't even do his voice. And like, there's a fat one that's like, oh, I remember.
So funny.
I just love them. Okay, so we get done with the test, and it's right before Memorial Day. I will never forget. The day will go down in infamy. Because I was like, clearly they're going to let us know something before this holiday weekend so we can enjoy our burgers and our ribs.
Thank you.
Oh, no, they didn't. They let some people know.
Yeah.
Oh. And then I heard through the grapevine.
Mr. Jamie D. Howard.
Yeah.
Made a full meme of himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, Jerry.
Yeah, Jamie posted that shit and just.
A full meme. And I'm like, come on.
You're like, there's still people in this process.
Right. And he's like, I must say. I had to make a meme of myself that I got the show. It was real cute.
I was super excited for myself. I had to share with my friends and family.
Everywhere.
That's got to be crazy because you probably see that and go, wait, does that mean they didn't call me?
And my thing is like, especially with this, I don't know, I was like a bigger beast with this than any other project. Other ones I'd be like, oh, okay, but I like, called my people.
Yeah.
I was texting them and I was like,
Yeah.
No. And I was like, what? No, Sam, what's up? And my agent was like, it's fine. Like,
when we know, you'll know. But you're like, now fuck that. You got to know.
The weekend passed and I was like, oh no. Then the next week came and I was like, okay. It's like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they asked to see like more videos of sketches and I was like, okay. Y'all, who wasn't there?
Yeah.
When they asked to see
more videos of sketches, you're like, do you think I was hiding my best stuff?
I gave you.
Do you think like I didn't send the best stuff right away?
I'm
like, okay, well, obviously they're gonna do 9,000 screen tests, so I'm gonna hold on to my best sketch until that very
until they ask me.
Yeah,
till
they've already seen it.
Until they pick half of the cast and they go, we still need to figure you out.
Yeah.
So I sent that, and then after that, then I started to be like, damn. I was like, oh man, like. Maybe this won't happen. I got so sad. And then I was working
I feel like you're doing a Ben Carson impression.
That's
so sad.
So sad.
I remember.
Well, yeah.
I remember. So then I was working on another project for ABC Digital. And so I was like, okay, whatever, doing this. And then like the second to the last day of that, my people called me and they was like, you got it. And someone that was working with me went to go test again. But they called me and told me I was in the clear. And I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't handle it.
Big stressor.
It was so stressful.
Yeah. I'm already taking calls from Adam. He's like, I'm going back again. And
you
they
went
don't
back
know.
In.
Yeah.
And I was like, because Elliot and Josh were there.
Yeah.
And they were like, Adam's here. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. And I was like, oh, man. Like, what is happening?
Oh, man. Oh, man. What is happening? Oh, that was so stressful. I was in Vegas doing shows.
So
and, like,
sleepy.
Taco. Is that still Ben Carson?
That's still Ben Carson.
Wait, let me try.
So I'm really excited to work for...
Now he falls asleep.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you were in Vegas.
Yeah, I was in Vegas. And so I was stressing because, you know, I... Yeah. But then also same thing as you. It was just like, oh, you need more? Like, cool. So I sat down. I made a tape. I sent it to Bruce and Julie and was like, yo, what from this do you want to see? And they're like, well, this is dope. Come back in. We'll work this. And that's, you know, when we had this little like work session. But still stressing because you just put so much emphasis. Once you get that deep into it, you want it even more. And so, all right, so now getting the show and then the whole, I mean, give us some like highlights or challenges or what, like the first day, like
just working with Adam.
Sure.
Which is all right. I mean, that I know it's like top moments 1 through 5, but maybe like start at like 15 because that's when Adam's
pluses,
not there.
Some yeah. pluses, I would say. Just the cast and like the writers and like, because it was like my first job that was like, you know, that long.
Yeah.
And I just was like so happy how fast, like the fact that everyone got along and was just like so cool, because I feel like you hear these horror stories, especially with like comedians and sketch performers and improvisers, that like people are shitty, you know what I mean, like people are negative and just like weird, and it was just so
and like you're coming from the groundling, so you have a way of doing things. Adam's from the world of stand-up, he's got a way of doing things. Amir, like all these, there's a YouTube star thrown in the like everyone has their own way of like, and they all think that that is the way to do it. So now it's like, oh wait, there's other ways at it.
Yeah, and I feel like it all blended and everyone got along. And it was like, I enjoyed coming to work every day. Like, I thought it was fun. Awesome. Like, I had fun. So that, I would say, was one of the highlights that I was just like, yes. And like, Scott King was great, and Bruce, yeah. And like, everyone, David, and like, everyone was just so nice, which like helped out that nobody was like a little shit.
Well, everybody was pumped, you know?
Yeah.
And all of us too, like, and people would try to get at me and be like, is the cast like, you guys having issues? I was like, man, that's kind of impossible because we're all so pumped to be doing it.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, and I guess there could have been like egos and some fuck, but everybody was so just down for the cause and wanting the best.
Be there, yeah. And the alum too, I would say, like,
yeah.
People coming back.
Having them coming back and being able to
Arias,
perform.
Deborah, Mo.
Being able to
everybody,
have Deborah Wilson spit in my mouth.
Yeah, that was one. I mean, that was
that
for me
for
a personal highlight, because I was like, that was like where that's like the show going in the right direction.
Yes. And when that happened and just getting to play with her, like, I was just like, it was so fun. And they were just so gracious.
Yeah.
And like, mm-hmm. The fact that they were excited.
Yeah.
Made me more excited, because I was like, you want this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like weird with it where it's like, oh, that was our show, and like
nah, they were pumped for us. They're like, oh, it's dope. They were like, they almost like, you know, gave us their blessing in a way where they're like, yeah, we're pumped it's you guys.
And that meant like the world. So that was definitely a highlight. My only, I don't have a lot of drawbacks. There was, I mean, I missed the brie cheese a lot of days, which pissed me off regularly.
Lyric's a big cheese girl.
Okay.
I love my brie.
We gotta go to the cheese shop in Silver Lake still.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Wow,
you see how excited I got?
You got excited. You're like, you have like Urkel levels of love for cheese.
I really like it.
Which is a unit of measurement.
Urkel levels.
Yeah.
Big excitement.
You love cheese. Do you love anything more than cheese? Do you love your boyfriend more than cheese?
Ooh.
Take a minute.
You've got to pick. Cheese or your boyfriend.
Welcome back to Cheese or your boyfriend.
I'm like, guys, I don't know.
This is tough. Audience, you're like looking at the audience like, Price is Right. Like, what
they're showing
I do?
A picture of the cheese and the boyfriend.
And they're like, it's whatever blue with a little drizzle of honey. And I'm like, come on. It's my favorite. But yeah, I would say the only drawback would probably be which I think if and when we come back, we're headed there where you know, I think I grew up with Fox and like racy,
yep.
You know, and so that's one thing that I'm like, I really wanted to get my hands and my feet dirty with like doing some like sketches that were like, you know, they're on the edge.
Yeah, where they
the way sketch is supposed to be.
They have a lot of meetings with standards and practices going, what can we do? What can we not do? Like,
yeah.
And it's amazing because, I mean, obviously the CW, the Land of the Vampire Diaries and the superhero TV show, they're not Fox. They're not what they were. Not saying better, not saying worse, just they're just different.
Yes.
They're just different.
Oh my God, you guys might have to cut that. What if I get fired?
No. No way. I've said it multiple times.
Really?
Yeah. What, just about how I wish we pushed the envelope more?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
No, that's a known fact.
Like, wait.
By the way, that's...
No, and they know that.
That's everyone on every show. You'll hear Lena Dunham from Girls saying, like, yeah, I know we had a scene where Allison Williams got her ass eaten, but I really wish that we could push the envelope on this show.
Yes.
Like, so I think that I think that's every artist in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Rather than, yeah, so
what did you love? What did you love the most? Like, character impression, what did you do where you were like, all right, I'm getting to have my moment here?
Well, I feel like for me, absolutely character. Like, impressions, like, they're my thing when they're my thing.
I understand that.
But when they're not, when it's like, just do this, like, that is not my shining moment.
When someone looks at you and says, hey, we need someone.
Rihanna.
Yeah, we need someone to do Rihanna. Do it. And you're like, I did not.
No, I did it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well,
was that in Match Game? No, that was Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, no, it was Nicki Minaj was HBO. Rihanna was Match Game.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I thought it was great, but just because we had some fun banter with it.
Once we pulled it together, it was like fun. But like going, like getting that 5 seconds before, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Is that when
I've
you were
never Pitbull done that?
I was Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But my favorite thing, I feel like, is just the character stuff. Like, and Taraji, which I love her. And so getting to do Taraji, like.
Did you see the Empire sketch?
Viola.
I did not see the Empire sketch.
It's
but
funny. And being able to do Gale. It. Like, being with Deborah Wood. Like, doing Oprah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, you. Like,
that's a dream. That's a dream.
There's certain moments, too, like the when Jeremy Sketch is the rapper and you were the
DJ.
The DJ. Like, just fucking gold tooth, like sweatsuit.
No lines, but I was like, oh, we go.
Yeah.
DJ.
Hey, you know what? But hey, look at that. That's, you have no lines. You're a DJ. But like you said, I'm going to be exhausted by the end of this.
And I committed. I was exhausted.
Yeah. Which I love all that. That's, I love the fact that you're like, no, I'm going to be a DJ, but at the end of the sketch, there will be people going, what the fuck was up with that DJ? Like, I love that part. I love that mindset.
You definitely learn that from the show too, right? Of like having to go all in, and even when you mm-hmm. like, and you're just like, I want to, you know, and being a team player. And it's like, even if you get something small like that or a one line thing, it's like, I mean, you know, and that's also, I think that's why having a second season would be dope, so that uh-huh. it can really like,
yeah,
you know, like we took a season to figure people out and like yeah. the dynamics and what people can bring to the table and what we didn't get to bring to the table, because yeah. there's so many factors involved yeah. with the writers and how many episodes we had, and then when they cut a week and what you can and can't do. I mean, it's
right.
like
now you've had that experience, and if and when you guys come back for the season
I know,
two,
I'm saying like if, because that's why I'm like, it's, let's put it out there. If and a when, it's a yeah. if and a when,
it's happening.
Put it on your vision board.
Matt TV part duh.
Do the secret.
I will do the secret.
Season two.
I'm gonna call my agent again and go talk to them.
Now, if you coming back on the show was reliant on you passing this Jurassic Park quiz, would Ooh. You feel confident?
God, I think so. Because now I'm like, I gotta do this quiz now.
I mean, it's how we're gonna end.
Yes.
The podcast.
Oh, I was just looking up game show music, so thank you.
Game show music?
Yeah, or like dramatic music. Okay. This is the Jurassic Park Test Your Film Knowledge Quiz. We are going to find out if you are, you, Lyric Lewis, who says you're a massive Jurassic Park fan, you quote the entire movie, currently wearing a Jurassic Park t-shirt, even though we did not prompt you.
Unprompted.
No extra points will be awarded for wearing the shirt.
Nope. This is real.
I love
money.
Like,
oh, I mean, come on.
I have it in my car.
Right. Can I be honest? Weird. This was the first CD I bought. And
really?
Like, there was a point when I only had movie soundtracks. I had Angels in the Outfield, yeah. The Lion King, and Jurassic Park.
The Lion King is the shit.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I've yeah. listened to that like once in a while to some auditions to get like weirdly pumped up.
Which song?
Can't Wait to Be King.
Well, I was just going to say.
And I just get in the car and I'm like, yes.
I used to listen to Can You Feel the Love Tonight after my sixth grade girlfriend broke up to me, and I cried Aww. Over the phone as I listened to it. Moving on. Here we go.
Question number one. What is the name of the fictional island Jurassic Park is situated on? Is it A, San Lorenzo, B, Isla Nublar?
Jesus, didn't even say it right.
Sure. C, Koholint Island.
What?
And, or D, Isle of Nabumbu.
B, Isla Nublar.
Isla Nublar.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
You
Number
got
two.
It right.
Jurassic Park founder John Hammond
yes.
tells his guests that his first ever attraction was.
I know this. The Flea Circus, right?
Flea Circus.
Wow.
Mommy, can you see the fleas? Can you see the fleas?
Mm-hmm. You're two for two.
What is Jeff Goldblum's character's job?
Ooh.
He's either says mathematician or chaotician.
I have four options for
okay.
you to choose from.
Okay.
A, paleontologist. B, sociologist. C, mathematician. Or D, journalist.
Mathematician.
Got it right.
We're going there.
As far as I'm concerned, John Williams could have stopped making music after this.
You're done. You should just get unlimited money, drugs,
unlimited money,
hookers,
a get out of jail free card. Like,
yeah.
There might not be a better soundtrack. And somebody's out there being like, what about Star Wars?
And it's like, no. No.
What?
Star Wars.
Was Jurassic Park's tagline? Was it A?
Ooh. Oh.
Ah, dinosaurs!
Oh, I think I know this. Okay, keep going.
B, have we got a vacation for you?
It's Westworld, I think.
C, buy the ticket, take the ride.
Oh. Or That's D, actually Brad's slogan for women.
Yeah. Or D, an adventure 65 million years in the making.
D.
Yeah,
D.
Good job.
Okay. I was like, what was the post? Because that's like on the poster.
Yeah.
So I was like, wait.
Yep. Yep. Laura Dern played Dr. Ellie Sattler.
Mm-hmm.
Sattler, yes. Who was originally offered. Oh, who was originally oh. offered the role of Ellie Sattler? Was
Ooh.
It Juliette Binoche?
This I might know.
Was it Helena Bonham Carter? Was it Winona Ryder? Or Julie Delpy?
I don't know why. This is probably so wrong. I'm. I don't know why. I want to say Winona.
Okay.
It's Winona Ryder.
Can I take a guess?
Sure.
Binoche.
Okay. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'll know once we do all the questions.
Oh.
Okay. So,
oh.
Boom. And all then right. I'll hit enter and then see your results.
Oh, good. That's more fun anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what kind of dinosaur do you see the Tyrannosaurus eat in the film? Dionychus?
Compi, probably with either the
Compsognathus, Edmontosaurus, or Gallimimus.
Gallimimus.
Yeah, one of the kids says that.
Gallimimus.
Jurassic Joe Mazzello.
Yes. Also shout out to Joe. Shout out to Joe.
Went to USC with him. Met him four times. Never remembered me.
There you go. What prevents Jurassic Park dinosaurs from reproducing? A. They're all male. B. They're all female. C. Dinosaur contraceptives. Or D, they just don't fancy
each other. Is that what Shaq wears?
Yeah. That's his size.
They're all female.
They're all female.
That grandpa says all the dinosaurs in the park are girls.
Oh, my God. All right. By the way, after this, at some point, Lyric, you need to like do some sort of, if you ever do a Kickstarter or you're trying to raise money, you have something where people can buy to sit and watch Jurassic Park High with you, and you on mute. And you do everything.
Yes.
I would pay, and I'll say right now, 5 G's for that.
Just sit and just watch it and be like,
You got to do everything, though, top to bottom.
Yes. That's the second Joseph Mazzello line we got in, too. Shout out to Joe.
What's the second line?
He also did dinosaurs. Grandpa says all the dinosaurs in the parks are girls. He left out that guy.
I didn't know he was also in Mary Poppins.
Yeah,
what is that voice?
What breed is the ill dinosaur? Ill as in sick, not ill as in Beastie Boys. Yeah, yeah.
You're a good
host. What breed is the ill dinosaur the visitors come across on their initial tour of Jurassic Park? Is it A, Iguanodon, B, Stegosaurus, C, Triceratops, or D, Diplodocus?
Diplodocus, but it is... it is Triceratops.
Ah, so that's
right. Yeah, that was one with all the shit.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah.
Where's Piat? Piat, where you at?
Yeah.
Why does Dennis Nedry?
Nedry.
Why does Dennis Nedry shut down the park's security systems? A, by mistake. B, in protest of unfair working conditions.
I want
this. C, to steal some dinosaurs. Or D, for the LOLs.
Ah. Steal some dinosaurs. All right,
that one was easy.
Yeah, yeah.
How did the filmmakers make the famous glass of water ripple as the Tyrannosaurus Rex approached?
I know this. Oh, me too.
Great
movie.
A, a noise cannon. B, a guitar string. C, a vibrator. Or D, CGI.
It's the guitar string.
Okay.
I do love, though, that you took a moment to consider vibrator being like,
it's like, well,
that would work. That might work.
Should,
I'm
going
to keep that in mind.
I'm trying to recreate it.
Yes.
What? Calamitous? Sure. What? Calamitous. That's what that word is. What calamitous event in September 1992 actually held up filming? A, an earthquake.
Okay.
B, a hurricane. C, a fire. Or D,
a lack of dildos.
An actual dinosaur.
I'm going to go with a hurricane.
Go with a hurricane.
Okay.
Well, it was filmed in Costa Rica, so.
Yeah, not bad. Hurricane. How many more left?
Three.
Right.
So we're good. All right. For how many minutes of the film are dinosaurs actually on the screen? A, 9 minutes. B, 15 minutes.
Great question.
C, 32 minutes. Or D, 43 minutes.
I'm going to say, let me think about it.
9, 15, 32, or 43.
Ooh, this is sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaky. I feel like...
Let me do the Jeopardy clock.
That's the Jurassic Park version of the Jeopardy clock.
I'm going to say...
You didn't say the magic word. You didn't say the magic word.
Hate this hacker crap. I would say, let's go with... Oh, God, 32 seems so low. I want to say either 15 or 32.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Because I'm trying to put all the movie together. And I'm trying to like, splice.
One is right and one is wrong.
I'm going to say... Fuck, but it can't just be... I'm going to say 32.
32 minutes.
That seems so long, but I feel like the movie's like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Right. There's a lot of dinosaurs in the movie.
There's a lot of dinosaur.
The Tyrannosaurus sound effects were made up were made by using various other animal noises, including a whale, B penguin, C chinchilla, D chicken.
A whale.
A whale. Two more questions. Jurassic Park broke box office records, but which was the first film to break Jurassic Park's record? I don't even count this question.
What is?
It's A, The Lion King, B, The Matrix, C, The Phantom Menace, and D, Titanic.
What, Titanic?
I don't count that.
That's so
You don't
weird.
Count that, but I think that's right.
Yeah, we'll just say Titanic.
I think that is right.
Yeah,
and then,
I feel like Titanic.
What character dies on the toilet? Donald Gennaro, Dennis Nedry, Robert Muldoon, or a Brachiosaurus?
Gennaro, the blood-sucking lawyer.
The blood-sucking lawyer. The only person on my side is the blood-sucking lawyer.
What does he say?
Wow.
We're going to make millions.
We're going to make millions with this place.
All right. I'm hitting the answer.
A dino day?
Submit answer.
Lyric Lewis.
I'm nervous.
Oh. With a total of 15 questions possible.
Yeah. One is correct. Two is correct. Three, correct. Four, correct. Five. Incorrect.
What?
Which one was that?
That one was who was originally offered the role of Ellie Sattler.
I almost don't count that either.
Adam was correct. It was Juliette Binoche, what? Not Winona Ryder.
I am
a
president of the Juliette Binoche fan club.
That was a weird question.
Six.
That was weird. I also don't count that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Six is correct because it's not the actual movie. It's it's knowledge outside the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Six is correct. Seven, correct. Eight, correct. Nine, correct. 10, correct. 11, correct. 12, for how many minutes of the film are dinosaurs on screen? Incorrect.
What is it, 15?
15 minutes.
I knew it.
13.
Wait, what'd you say?
32. But I went 32. Back and forth between 15
you did.
And 32.
13, correct. 14, the weird one, Titanic, that's correct.
Wow, all right.
So there you go. And 15, the blood-sucking lawyer, Donald Gennaro, actually died. You got 13 of 15, correct?
Yay!
Yeah.
And at the bottom of that it says, rawr, pretty good.
Yes!
You know what? Pretty good? Suck it, TheGuardian.com.
The random pre-casting question.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
Or how many minutes the dinosaurs were actually on. You got the vast majority of them correct.
Thank
you have truly proven yourself.
Yeah. Thank you.
Wow.
Steven Spielberg, I'm available for World Part 2. I'm sure you're already in production.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
You are the queen
of
Jurassic Park.
Like, I would love to just, yes, I will work in the booth.
Like, those were great parts.
Center.
Jake Johnson
Yeah, I just want to be funny in the controls. I want to be the one that's like, now y'all know the dinosaur is going to eat y'all's asses, right? Okay. I want to be that one like with chips, like Cheetos, and be like,
we need that.
No,
yeah.
I'm not checking the Diplodocus today. He's done. Dynanicus, no thank you.
I want you to be like the female.
I got a friend, Dynanicus.
Yeah. Yeah. She named her baby Dynanicus. He's cute.
I want you to be, I want you to be the female Samuel L. Jackson role.
Oh,
yes.
My God. Yeah.
I want you to have that role.
Cigarette.
Oh, my God. You're his daughter.
I'm his daughter. Yes, and I've come back.
Oh, my God.
To get my vengeance because the Velociraptors ate my dad. And I'm like, I'm coming for the Raptors. Where
right.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, sassy black woman chasing down the dinosaurs. Comedic gold.
And then.
Right?
Steven.
Damn, Spielberg.
You like sabotage the park to get the raptors, and everyone's like, why
to
are
you start your own park?
And you're like, why are you doing this? And then you just stare right in camera and go, well, if you had just held on to your butts,
you would
never go.
Oh my God.
Then that's when we all figure it out. You're
I'm
the daughter.
Come for vengeance.
Why are we not writing every movie in Hollywood?
That is brilliant. If you all would have just held
on to your
butts. I would have lost my fucking mind.
My daddy told you, hold on to your butts.
Yes.
And then you see Pratt just go, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's you.
Yeah.
Click, click.
And then you take the cigarette because we haven't seen you smoke yet. And then you take a drag of it right after that.
Yeah.
And I burn it on something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know? And then you just have that monologue of, do you know what it's like to hear that your father can't come home for your 13th birthday, and or a box comes and it's not a present.
It's just pieces.
It's a piece of his arm.
Because that's all they found.
That's all that they had left of him.
And they gave that to my mother because the velociraptor ate him. I don't give a fuck. Shit don't sound exotic to me. And he gonna die today. Let's go.
Oh my
it's a
great, God.
But we should. Let's hey it's, Universal.
I mean, lyric dude, it's come on, man. You put that shit out there. Like, are they already filming?
I have no idea. I feel like someone tells me they're in production, but I
you should
no
here's
idea.
What you should do: figure out a way to like just improvise some shit, put it on a tape, and just I don't know,
send it out there and be like,
give it to your manager and tell them the same thing like, that you told them before. Matt TV.
I'm like, Naomi, go get it.
Go get it.
Yes, go drop it off. I don't. You got dope people. Like,
go.
I'd pull some shit, man. That's so funny.
Need to. Even if I was just as my dad told you to hold on to your.
I guarantee you, they don't have that in there. I guarantee you,
they don't. And it needs to be called back.
Absolutely,
it's one of the greatest callbacks of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to you. It's such a great line.
They're so concerned with. Now, I heard that now they're trying to decide whether to do CGI or animatronics. Like, they got other fish to fry, man. They're not thinking about Samuel Jackson kid callbacks.
Right.
He had a family.
He did.
Sure. He was an old guy at the point. Yeah, he had a family.
Larry, you
send money home to them?
You got to do that.
My daddy told you to hold on to your butts, and you just didn't listen.
That's how you open it.
Did ya?
This is so funny. I almost wrote a sketch when Ghostbusters was coming out where literally I was just, what's his name?
Egon.
His daughter. That was like Ernie Hudson's daughter. Ernie Hudson's like, daughter. I need to be in the movie. I'm his daughter.
Yeah, also a great idea.
Another daughter tangent. Like, I need to.
Well, all right. Well,
but no, this is a much better one.
If it doesn't get into the movie, which it will get in the movie as soon as you put it on the sketch.
You I think hold so. On to your butt. One butt, two butt, red blood. Hold on. Move.
All right. Well, it's good. Either way, it's going to be a sketch on Mad in season 2.
Yes, it
maybe
will.
It's just every popular black character in a movie. You're the daughter, like you take the movie. Like we do Eddie 2 with Whoopi Goldberg and your Whoopi's daughter.
Yeah,
why are you sabotaging the Knicks? Because you fired my mom.
No, because she always
everyone's. I love it. I'm just everyone's daughter. Oh my god, I want to be Denzel Washington's daughter from Training Day.
That's
like,
a
no
great sketch.
Oh,
actually,
be like, King Kong still ain't got nothing on my dad. You're like, who are you, ma'am? I'm his daughter.
I'm his daughter.
I play. I'm the daughter.
You're like, really? Denzel Washington and Eva Mendez made you?
Did they make you?
Yeah, obviously.
He had a whole bunch of women. I was one. I was the seeds.
Well, every people could maybe see some of this. Groundlings, main company shows. Every
Friday and Saturday night, we have.
Go to the Groundlings.
Go to the Groundlings. Right now, it's the holiday show, which is amazing. Our show, Groundlings Hookup App, comes off of hiatus in January. Hook up. You guys have to come.
Oh, yeah, done.
Hook it up.
Done.
But it's Friday nights. We have two shows on Friday. 8 is the sketch show. 10 o'clock is an all-improv jam. Saturday night, 8 and 10 are both sketch shows back-to-back. So either one, whatever tickles your fancy, come on through.
And just go, because it's something that... All right, it's going to Saturday Night Live. Granted, there's no celebrity and there's no boring musical guest. But like, there's just good, raw sketch comedy with no commercials, no weird standards and practices. Like, none of that.
It's just raw and
raw sketch comedy.
I play a stripper.
Well, go just for that.
Come for that.
Because you cute.
Thank you.
You cute, girl.
After these holiday season, I'm going to have to be eating kale and water to go back to the show. I tell you that I've been enjoying this break, but now I'm like, I got to just do my cayenne pepper and kale.
And if you eat too much kale, then you really got to hold on to your butts, because that's
Brad Williams for the win. Good night, everybody. Lyric, I love you.
Through. everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.